sermon text, Acts chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. But for our first scripture reading, Psalm 67. Let us now give careful attention to the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 67. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And now if you would turn, Acts chapter 16, and the Apostle Paul here embarking on his second missionary journey. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. I was of the mind to preach a different text this week, but had a conviction, desire in my heart to preach this particular passage. Let us give attention once again to the reading of God's word. Now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And the man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over here to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. May the Lord bless to us the reading and the preaching of his most holy word. You may be seated. Let us pray. And O Lord our God, as the Lord Jesus Christ gave sight to them that were blind, gave hearing to them that were deaf, O Lord, we cry out to you that you might now give to us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. If you have ever had the experience of going through a maze, you know how it goes. As you enter into the maze, you know ultimately that there is a destination somewhere. There is an opening, there is a door that you will eventually find. You just do not know yet the way to get there. And so it is that through a process of trial and error, you encounter walls that you thought were ways. You encounter obstacles that you thought were openings. And so you have to turn around, retrace your steps, go a different direction. But after enough time, eventually you find it. There it is, an opening. And is this not similar to the way it seems to be in the Christian life? You go about your Christian life and you're seeking to serve the Lord. You're seeking to do as he would call you to do. And yet, like the walls in that maze, the providences of God seem to oppose you and redirect you. And you end up in places that you didn't necessarily set out end up in. And it leaves you perhaps confused. Why am I here in my life, in this circumstance, right now? How did I even get here? And perhaps you even start to wonder, after meeting wall after wall, roadblock after roadblock, obstacle after obstacle, am I where right now where God would have me be? And is God even with me in this mysterious labyrinth the Christian life can sometimes appear to be? It's not unlike what the Apostle Paul and his companions experienced here as they set out upon the second missionary journey. From the occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was ascending up into heaven, he declared to his apostles that he was to send out who would on his behalf go and proclaim the gospel message. He said to them in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he said, to you it has not been given to know the times and the seasons which the Father has set down in his authority, but you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, then to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And though at times, as they embark upon this effort to bring the gospel message of salvation unto the nations, the times would seem, and the seasons they would encounter, which the Father had set down in his own authority, would appear confusing, perplexing, and unclear, being rerouted into different directions that they had intended. Nevertheless, through it all, though confusing to them, God, in his glorious wisdom and in his almighty power, continued to carry forth his perfect plan and his purpose to build his church as the Holy Spirit would bring the gospel as the help to man for his salvation, both through the opening and even through the closing of doors. And that's what we encounter here as we begin our consideration of this passage. The closing of doors. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul, with a strong sense of his unique calling to the apostleship, and with the great burden and zeal to fulfill that commission, to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth, he and his company set out from Antioch. And we read and we understand it was their intention, as they did, to bring the gospel to the region of Asia, to go westward towards Ephesus, which at the time was a prominent foremost city. It was a metropolis, and this was their intention. And yet, despite their faithful efforts and their labors to bring the gospel there, we read and find here in the passage that they do not remain. It says they were passing through instead. Passing through Phrygia and Galatia. Why this? Why did they not remain? This was their intention. Was it because they ran out of finances? Was it because someone on their team became gravely ill? Or did they encounter certain persecution that prevented their continuing to remain? The Word of God does not say, but notice what the Word of God does tell us quite clearly. It says this. The reason they could not remain there, but were only passing through, was because they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. The word is this: the Holy Spirit hindered them. The Holy Spirit denied them, refused them to speak the word of God there. Now, it does not say in the text how they came to know this. Was this by some prophetic utterance of someone in Paul's missionary team? Was it by some vision they saw at night? Or just a certain set of significant, profound circumstances that befell them? The word again does not tell us, because it does not matter. The point is this. The word tells us the Holy Spirit did not allow it. Does this at all seem troubling to you? The Holy Spirit of God did not allow the word to go forward at that time to those who lived in Asia. We know from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, as the Apostle Paul will say later, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear of him unless one preaches? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Here the Apostle Paul and his team, who could preach the gospel, are not being sent to Asia at this time. Why would the Holy Spirit do this? Does this sound like a contradiction to you? Well, it's only a contradiction if, in fact, it was the will and the intention of God for the word to go forth unto every single soul and everyone come to faith. But clearly, as we read here, it was not the will and the intention of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, to make it even more specific, as you read the words, you go down in verse 7. The actual translation would be this: the Spirit of Jesus did not permit the word to be spoken. We know from Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the completion of his saving work and being resurrected and ascending to the right hand of God the Father, was established as the mediator between God and man, having received all power and authority in heaven and earth, to build the kingdom of God, to bring those who are in the kingdom of darkness and transfer them into the kingdom of the Son of his love. On behalf of the Father, he would be given the Spirit as his agent, a Spirit that he would pour out upon the nations, bring them to, as Scripture says, the conviction of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come would be poured out, and the baptism of the Spirit working regeneration, repentance, and faith. And for the Word of God to say, as it does here in Acts 16, the Spirit of Jesus forbid them, to say that it was also not the Son's will for the Word to be spoken there at that time. And we know, of course, as Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. Neither was it the will of the Father. Why is this? Why not? Was it because those who were living in Asia at the time just so happened to be worse sinners than anyone else? Less deserving of God's kindness and favor and the blessing of salvation? Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone they would bring the gospel to were all pagans steeped in their idolatry. It's not that those in Asia were at that time more wicked than anyone else. It is simply this, that the Lord is the Lord. As his name implies, he is sovereign. He is the one who possesses all rule. As Jesus said, all authority is not shared. It has been given to me. It has been given to me. And whether his word comes to certain ones in a certain place at a certain time and not to others is entirely his free and sovereign choice that is made without respect to the relative obedience or disobedience of those who might hear it. To have the gospel proclaimed unto salvation, to the salvation of those who would believe, is entirely dependent on the free will and determining of God himself. Again, the Apostle Paul, what does he declare? Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. I will have mercy, says God, on whom I will have mercy. And those whom he wills, he hardens. As he raised up Pharaoh for his own purposes to display the glory of his justice and hardened his heart, so it was. It's all dependent upon the sovereignty of God. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, God has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of man's dwellings, that in time, according to God's purposes, the gospel might come to those he has given to the Son to be saved, that they might in time hear, repent, and believe. It is all based upon the sovereign ruling of God himself. And if it is that the word of God has come to you, and indeed it has come to you today, you who are here, if it is the case that the word of God has come to you and you have come to faith, and that the Spirit of Jesus did not forbid the word from coming to you that you might hear and call upon him and be saved, and you, not being able to hear, be left in your sin to perish in your unbelief, as he did with those who were in Asia at the time, but has instead allowed his word to come to you, that you might hear, that you might be saved, calling upon him in faith. And this is your call to humility. It's a call to praise God for his mercy, that he would allow you to hear the blessed hope that is in Jesus Christ. And if you have come and have heard the gospel, especially you, covenant children, to whom God has been pleased that you would hear his gospel message repeatedly in your life, almost daily. God has granted and allowed you to hear the call to put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. What should be your response? But to call upon him in faith and trust. To those of Asia at the time, the word of God was forbidden. The door was shut securely. And at this, the Apostle Paul and his company might have been quite perplexed. Might have wondered, what is God doing? Might have been tempted to question, where is God in this? We're seeking to be faithful to him. We're seeking to serve him in this way. Is God with us anymore? And yet, trusting that God was still with them, trusting that he had called them and appointed them to this task, and trusting that he was indeed sovereign over all things, they continue on. And while this they encounter, as it were, a wall redirecting them, no longer able to go westward towards Asia, they turn now to the north, as we read in verse 7, to Magia, to what is a more civilized society. Bithynia and Asia Minor, the coastal cities around the Black Sea, would have seemed like a natural choice, a likely place where God would certainly desire to bring his word. It's a thriving metropolis. Wouldn't God want to work here? And as we read these words, notice what it says. They, in fact, attempted to go that direction. In other words, they made their plans. They put forth effort. They secured provisions. Much energy and effort working to make this happen, to go that direction. And indeed, they were certainly praying that God would bless their journey. Of course they were praying for God's blessing. And yet we find, again, the Spirit of Jesus forbade them. Another closed door. Despite their efforts. Despite their desires. The fervency of their devotion to serve him. I have to ask you, does this sound like the responses you're getting to any of your prayers? The prayers that you pray at times. Perhaps there's some opportunity, some way you desire to serve the Lord. And you think, surely this is a way that I could serve the Lord in this particular opportunity. It seems like it would be wise for me to do. I have the resources. I have the ability to serve in this particular capacity.
Surely the Lord would want to bless my efforts in being faithful to Him and serving Him in His kingdom. And while it is the case that you do not have an audible message coming from the Lord and you do not have a vision appearing to you in the night, yet that opportunity you thought was there somehow escapes you. The plans do not come to fruition. It's a hard no. In that moment, isn't that easy? You're left wondering, frustrated, perhaps discouraged. And in that frustration, do you not find yourself tempted to conclude this way? The Lord's not hearing me. The Lord's not answering my prayers. Perhaps the Lord does not want to use me in His service. The Lord isn't concerned about my desire to serve Him. He's not working in this situation. He's not with me, or perhaps even go so far as some might conclude with a series of closed doors and no's. Does He even love me? As you're buffeted time and again, you feel like, well, I just need to pack it up. Throw in the towel. And yet notice the Apostle Paul, after many efforts and labor and time and energy that was given in this missionary journey, understanding at this point where he is at now as we come to verse 7, this has been a 400-mile journey. You think of all the efforts, all the planning, the preparations, the self-sacrifice, the weariness of travel. This is not traveling like we did to come out here when we got to enjoy a nice comfy jet liner with a TV in the back of the headrest of the chair before us. And kick back and relax and be across the country in a few hours. This is a laborious, wearying effort as they journey along. All the time and commitment, the resources that they had to devote to this, and all, despite this, the twists and the turns they're finding, and another dead end, and another dead end, would they not think this has all been a waste of time? This is all pointless and in vain, what we've done. Why would the Lord have us go this route? But notice the Apostle Paul does not throw in the towel here. Though all may seem to be against him and against what he and his companions originally thought would be the way God would have them go and bless, yet trusting and resting in the good wisdom of God, knowing that clearly they have been called to this task, to serve the Lord. They resign themselves. They resign themselves to His wisdom. And they continue to explore and to trust that He will do what is best. And they hope for the best, as they should. As they should. And brothers and sisters, you and I need to be careful. Let us take the hint here from what we find in these words. You and I need to be careful about the conclusions that we make when we encounter one closed door after another closed door, after a no, after a no, after a no, as it was with the Apostle Paul himself, after all these no's that they encountered. Was God with them? Yes, indeed, He was with them. And He is still with us, His people. And then what we think was wise, and then what we hoped for and set our hearts upon to serve the Lord in a certain way does not pan out. We must, with the Apostle Paul, continue resigning ourselves to the wisdom of God and His goodness, trusting He knows what is best, and to rest in that and to let go even, as hard as it may be, to let go of what we thought was what God would have wanted, and to submit to Him and to say, yes, Lord, I am your servant. Lead on. Where would you lead? And understand at the same time that all these no's and all the closed doors, like the walls that you might encounter as you go through that maze, understand this, that they are not assigned to you. that the Lord is somehow not with you. All the no's and the closed doors are not to you a hint from heaven that you're to throw in the towel. They're not a sign to you that God no longer loves you or cares about your desire to serve Him. Brothers and sisters, the doors that are closed, the no's that you receive, this is the sovereign work of God directing you to the way He would have you go. To the open door that He has gone before you and has prepared. That He has prepared for you and as a church together. Like the walls of that maze are, though they may be frustrating to you as you encounter them, they're actually helping you get to where you need to go. They're directing you. That's not unlike what it was for Paul and his team. They sought to serve the Lord with what wisdom they had, with what resources they had, with what seeming opportunities they had, and they sought, by His grace, to be as faithful as they could. They did not have, at this point, any voice coming from heaven telling them, no, don't go that way, turn left. They didn't have anything like that. It was, in fact, said. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. It has not been given to you to know the times and seasons that the Father has put down in His authority, but go. But go. By the wisdom they had, their resources, they sought to be faithful as they went along. And along that way, as they went, one closed door after another, even that wasn't in vain. Even all those efforts expended was not pointless. Why? Because they were being tested. Tested in their faithfulness to serve Him. You see, no attempted service for the Lord, if it arises of faith, if it is done out of love and gratitude and service of Christ, no attempted service Christ is wasted on Him or despised of the Lord. You think of the costly jar of oil that was broken and spilled over the feet of Christ. It was not a waste. In fact, such acts of loving devotion to Jesus are precious in His sight. Though your plans to serve the Lord in what ways you think you ought to do not come to fruition, though they may fail, understand they are not failures if they are done out of faith, faithfulness to the Lord. Here, the Lord was testing the faithfulness. The Apostle Paul and his team. And what will God say? What will the Lord say at that final and great day when He receives you into His glory? He will not say, well done, good and fruitful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. As a test of our faithfulness, as we trust in the Lord and seek to do what is honoring to Him. And so it was, the Apostle Paul, it was for him and his team trusting in the Lord. Despite all of the twists and turns they encountered, now cut off from the west and cut off from the north. Now, like that maze, here they finally at last are being guided to the only option that is left for them. Which, of course, wasn't their original plan, because God will get the glory for what is done. And they are being directed to Troas. To Troas. Which just so happens to be a major port city. And not just any harbor on the Aegean Sea, but the primary harbor for ships that are heading across to Macedonia, which was the gateway, surprise, surprise, to this little blip on the map called Europe, where they will encounter an open door. Arriving at Troas at night, after a series of enigmatic no's from the Lord in verse 8, the Lord finally now removes the blindfold and reveals to him His purposes. The Apostle Paul sees this vision in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Hear the Lord Jesus now to direct Paul and his company to the field he would have them work in. Gives to them this vision. And how fitting is it here, these Gentiles to whom Paul is going, represented as this Gentile man standing there, crying out and pleading, "Come to Macedonia and help us." And the word is an intense word of desperation, of deliverance, save us. And how fitting is it that this would be the vision for what is the state that man is in his sin, in his disobedience, covered in the shame of his guilt before a holy God. Man is in desperate straits. He does not know his own peril. There is but one step between him and the justice of God to fall upon him for his many sins. And oh, if man only knew and understood the greatness of his wickedness and the holiness of a just God, how he would readily cry out this way, "Help me, save us." How many times have gone and done evangelism? You come to people, you knock on their door, "Do you want to know how you may have eternal life?" "Well, no, not today. I'm doing my yard work. I'm busy watching a movie." If you only knew, if you could have just a second snapshot of what will be the eternal sufferings in hell, you would be grabbing your wife and your kids and rushing down saying, "What must I do to be saved?" If man only knew it. Do you know it? Do you know it? The people at that time, there in Europe, had no knowledge that Paul was coming. They were busy going about their lives, not understanding the peril they were in. But the Lord, you see, was going before them. He was preparing a way for their salvation. Do you know your need of this salvation? Have you cried out to the Lord for his mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ? And as one who does believe, as one who has called upon the Lord Jesus to be saved, do you not hear, as it were, the need of those around you? Like this. "Help us! Help us!" Do you not see and understand how great their need is? Hear the Lord Jesus to rouse these weary travelers, to rouse and strengthen his servants, to stir their hearts and to encourage them to continue forward in the way of service. He gives them this vision of this man crying and pleading. Just like you, if you were riding along the road and you heard someone on the sidewalk screaming, "Help! Save me!" you would naturally turn and see what you could do. Here the Lord is rousing their hearts to come and to bring them help. But what help would they need? What help does man need? Does he need a motivational talk? A list of statements to encourage him and to provide him some measure of comfort as he goes about his day? What does man need? Does he need a better job, more money? What does he need? He needs the eternal Son of God made man to suffer and to die and to bleed on the cross to deliver him from the wrath to come. He needs the message of the gospel. That is all the help that he needs. The gospel, Scripture says, is the power of God unto salvation. And so we find, notice, as it says in verse 10, when he had seen this vision, we concluded. And the word is interesting here. The word is, we held things together. In other words, as we say it, they put two and two together. They finally look back and see it all the roadblocks, all the closed doors, all the no's, and now this vision, now it all finally makes sense. Now we know what God has been doing and why all the knows before and where we are to be. What an encouragement it must have been to go forward, Paul and his team, knowing with a certainty that this is what the Lord has called us to do, and that He is indeed with us. And it is out of that confidence and that conviction, notice what is next said, we immediately sought to go. Immediately. Here, we, notice Luke, the author of Acts, joins the missionary team. And we sought to go all of a sudden, seeing this door now open. It was all hands on deck. It was a flurry of activity. They began to chart the course, make their preparations, secure their provisions. And it was full steam ahead. No more waiting. No hesitation. Redeeming the time because the days are evil to bring the help that man so desperately needs. As it says here, to preach the gospel to them. The word is to evangelize them. To share the good news, salvation in Jesus Christ, who suffered the wrath of God to deliver us from our sins and the judgment to come. And so it was. They go forward. And next comes the establishment of the church of Philippi with the conversion of Lydia and the Philippian jailer. After this, on the way to Thessalonica, then to Berea and to Athens, and then to Corinth. And thus it was that all the roadblocks and all the no's they encountered along the way were not failures. All the closed doors and the open door was the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit fulfilling exactly what He said. When He said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And to such my gospel shall go." Brothers and sisters, here we are today. And that promise of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Apostle Paul and his company, it did not end there. Today, as we sit here in Ocean View in Norfolk, Virginia, the fruits of that gospel labor, even the fruits of all those closed doors, here we are, a people redeemed, standing in the salvation of God, singing praise to Him. And not only are we part of the fruit of those very labors and even the no's that God said, not only are we today standing in the salvation as fruit of all of that, but we, by God's grace, are a part of that same work that continues today by the same Jesus Christ and by the same Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, we may not be apostles, and we may not be on the second missionary journey. And here you are, a church of essentially two bodies who have encountered a number of challenges and perplexities and difficulties, desires to serve God and yet not seeing it come to fruition, a number of closed doors slammed in your face, obstacles and problems, things that may seem to you have been wasted, and you have been tempted to be discouraged and to be exhausted. And you hear the voices, perhaps the criticisms of others saying, "Look, this is pointless. Why are you even trying? Just give up." Or the voices in your own head saying, "Just quit and go somewhere else. It's too much work, as tempting as all this may be." Nevertheless, in light of what we find here in the Word of God, I hope that this has brought you some encouragement, as it brings to me. I'm no stranger to closed doors, to no's. I hope that you are encouraged as I have found encouragement, knowing this, that He who said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail," He has not today changed His mind. We know it is the will of God to build His kingdom. And it will come. He will not be opposed. He is the Lord. He is reigning on high. His mind is not changed. And while we do not today have audible noise we hear from heaven, and we do not receive visions in the darkness of night, and while none of us here know where we are in this maze, in the twists and turns of this mysterious labyrinth of the Christian life and service in His kingdom, nevertheless, today, by the same providence of the same Lord Jesus Christ and by His Spirit, both in your individual lives and as a church together, here you are. And it cannot be denied today, as it could not be denied for the Apostle Paul and company, that a new door has been opened, has indeed been opened to you by the Lord Jesus Christ from the throne of heaven and by His Spirit. He has allowed the word to go forth even in this very place and for such a time as this. Last week, you recall hearing our dear brother, your former pastor, Lowell Ivey. And what did he proclaim? He proclaimed, "The Lord of the harvest sends laborers into His harvest. And it is the Lord who says the fields are white." Do we believe Him? Do we believe Him? If so, then with what means you have, with the time that you have been given, for however long the Lord may allow this door open, knowing that a door has not been opened to you, put two and two together. And make haste, all hands on deck, and give yourselves to the labor of the Lord, knowing what it is you are here, even here now, even in this very building. As nice as it is to finally have a building, to finally have a place you can call your own, to no longer have to live like nomads wandering about in this world seeking to find a place to worship, and no longer having to set up chairs and tear down chairs and haul out equipment every Lord's Day. As nice as all that is, there is one reason, and there is one reason only, why you are here in this building. And that is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That and that alone. And so, brothers and sisters, though it is that all those around us in these homes, in these neighborhoods, on these streets, out on the beach, though they do not know it themselves right now, you know it. Help us! Do you hear? Do you understand their need of salvation? By the blessing of the same Lord Jesus Christ and by His Word and Spirit, as He directed the Apostle Paul and his company, go. Go forward. Go forward. And His kingdom that has come to Jerusalem, has come to Judea and Samaria, and has now come to Ocean View in Norfolk, Virginia. Go. And go wherever that kingdom may come, wherever He will lead, even through open and even closed doors, until the gospel has gone to the ends of the earth, and it shall. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, send forth your word. We thank you for the open door that you have allowed to remain open.